Welcome to the Average Nobody's Podcast, the ultimate home for wrestling enthusiasts, beer drinkers, movie quoters, and pop culture connoisseurs. Here are your hosts, Matt and Ryan.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Average Nobody's Podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Ryan.
And we're here to make sweet love to your eardrums.
Yep, not just your eardrums.
So that's how this podcast is going to go, just yep. So you know. We're just going to lay it out there ahead of time.
Put everything out on the line.
You've agreed to this.
It's true. They signed the consent form.
That's right. You got that in the mail, right? So I forgot we didn't get rid of those first two lines of the document. So let's get right into it. So there's a Vince McMahon biopic.
Yes.
Coming out.
There is. That's kind of, I guess, so this has been something that has been in the works for a while, but Vince and the WWE, you know, were kind of wary about signing off on it, and now someone's, I forgot the guy's name, the guy who wrote it, Craig Williams, who wrote Underdog. Weird.
The
cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's going to do a Vince McMahon biopic, but I guess they secured the rights to Vince's life, and, like, he gave kind of the life story, not his life, but
he handed over his life.
But his life story, and now they're gonna, I don't know what part, like, of his life they're gonna focus on. I have to assume it's gonna heavily be around, like, when they created WrestleMania, like when he bought it from his dad, stuff like that. But it's gonna be cool, because I'm wondering if they're gonna get any guys to, like, play themselves, you know? Like, obviously The Rock's out of the question. He's a little,
like,
too busy.
Like Shane and, like,
Not maybe even just, like, some, like, of the wrestlers. Yeah, like Mick Foley or, like, yeah, Stone Cold. I mean, Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, Macho Man, probably not.
Yeah. I don't think it'd probably be difficult to get Macho
it
Man
would be, yeah,
and the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, they're both very busy. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's rolling forward. The latest, the directors are going to be the executive producers and creators of This Is Us.
Okay. So very interesting. So the writer from Underdog and the creators from This Is Us are directing it.
Yeah.
So, this is me. You know what, though? Wrestling fans, I've always said this, everybody, like, across all walks of life, there are wrestling fans. And so this just proves it.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, the person who wrote Underdog, you know, wrote Underdog, but is also a wrestling fan. I mean, right. We do a lot of things, but we're also still wrestling fans.
Yeah.
So it's not that surprising.
No.
You know?
And it is a pretty interesting story that's never been told. I mean, the guy's lived quite a life.
Yeah. I mean, even just the little things that WWE puts out, and they're not even really focused on him. Like,
but he always kind of likes to shy away from it. And
they're just amazing. It's just amazing stories, and he has such an amazing life.
So, yeah, I'm glad it's being made. It's going to be pretty cool. So now what I was thinking is, who do you think, I guess there's, depending on what time frame they use, but, like, who would you pick as an actor to play, like, 80s and 90s Vince?
So tough, because When I first thought about this, I was thinking about, like, who would play Vince now?
Right.
Like, who would replace Vince now? And I was thinking, like, Stephen Lang. You know Stephen Lang?
Yeah.
Like, because he, I don't know, he has, like, a similar face structure, but nobody's Vince McMahon.
No.
It's so crazy.
Like, I did see a really good one today.
Who was it?
Ray Liotta.
Oh, that's not bad.
For, like, modern-day Vince?
I'd have to see
Ray Liotta looks kind of worn.
When they do the test shots, they're going to have to put him in the jacket he used to wear on when he did Raw, when he was announcing Raw, like the back, the old.
And he's got to get the strut down.
Oh, you have to be able to do the strut. Yeah. That's, like, part of the addition. You have to be able to wear those clothes and be convincing. You have to have the hair, and you got to be able to do the strut.
Yeah.
And also, you got to be able to say you're fired.
Yes.
Just like Vince.
Yeah. And I was thinking for back in the day, Vince, Oscar Isaacs.
That's not a bad one either.
Because he was in a show. On HBO.
I like Oscar Isaac.
I forgot the name of the show. I'll see if I can find it. It was the guy, David Simon, who was one of the creators and writers of The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
He did this show, and Oscar Isaacs was in it. What the hell?
I...
What was the name of it? And he had, like, kind of the Vince McMahon hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Let's look that up. I really think that, I don't know. It's one of these things where, like, okay, so do you remember the Steve Jobs movie that came out a little while ago with Fassbender in it?
Yes.
And then, like, maybe less than a year before that, they had the Ashton Kutcher version.
So that's Oscar Isaac.
Okay, yeah, that looks like Vince. What's the name of the show?
Show Me a Hero.
Show Me a Hero.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Okay.
So that's also a biopic. It's based on a New York City, like, I don't know if he was a councilman or something, but yeah. So that's why I had that picture in my head. But go ahead
about this. So, like I said, like I'm starting to get to the point where I don't think that it really matters if it's like a really spinning image of Vince McMahon. I think like the story's going to tell itself. My example is the two Steve Jobs movies that came out, and I forget the names of one of them is Jobs, one of them is
Steve.
Anyway, so, yeah, Steve. So the one with Ashton Kutcher, arguably he looks like just like Steve Jobs in it. Like they did a really good job with the makeup. The hair is right. The glasses are right. His like whole like he's like tall and lanky, like Steve Jobs was. But I think the story was told better in the one that Fassbender was in because it was just a better story and it was more interesting and it was told in a like a more succinct like directed way. Like they just focused on him doing those big like you know the big Apple conferences they do every year. They announce new products. Basically, it's just like a bunch of those in a row. Like from when Apple first started to like when they released the first like iMac, the colored Macintosh.
Huh.
So it was cool, but I could definitely see like that being the biopic for McMahon, just being like the first like getting WrestleMania started, then like the first WrestleMania, the second WrestleMania, so like that kind of story. So it didn't look like him, but it didn't take away from it at all.
Yeah,
you still don't. I mean,
so you don't right? I mean, you know it's going to be about him. So I mean, if you can't find this, I think it's more important to get like the story down.
Yeah. And someone who can act.
Yes.
That's also good too.
Yeah.
I mean, you could find someone that looks exactly like him, and if you just get him off the street and he's not an actor, it's not going to work.
It's not.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that should be good. It's going to be called Pandemonium.
Pandemonium?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, cuz that was like one of his catchphrases like when he was an announcer.
I know the 30 on 30 for the XFL was ridiculous.
It was great.
It was so awesome. And it just shows the mind of Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Like, it really, and like, the NFL still uses a bunch of the production techniques.
Yes.
Now, still in the NFL.
Yep, they use that spider cam or whatever the hell it's called.
Whatever it is, the one that goes above the field.
Yeah.
They still use that. Luckily, they don't use the roll the ball out into the middle of the field to start the game anymore. But, you know, they still use some of the production.
Yeah.
And WWE's always done that better than everybody else, so it'd be really cool to, like, kind of show. And also, too, like, this will finally, like, the people who are like, oh, WWE, like, did I ever tell you the story about how I got, like, basically laughed, like, out of a classroom at Bryant, like, when I was in college? I took a marketing class, and I forget what the premise was, but for extra credit, you could bring in a prop, and give a presentation on, like, someone that you think, I forget what it was, and I'm looking at Schwartz, but he wasn't in my class. GMAC was in my class. It was, what was it?
Someone you admired?
It was, like, someone who, or a company that does, like, marketing well.
Okay.
Does, like, things well. So I went up there, and I had a Vince McMahon DVD, and I was, like, it was the one that came out, like,
way back.
Way back. So I was, like, Vince McMahon in WWE, like, this billion-dollar, like, company,
publicly traded company,
is like super. They do this and this well. Like I gave reasons, and like basically the teacher laughed me out of the classroom, being like, "It's wrestling, it's pro wrestling." But like but finally now, like hopefully, like the 30 on 30 XFL thing did it a little bit. But
yeah.
People who like are naysayers about wrestling, I hate anyway.
Which is fine. Like you can, if you don't like the product, you don't like the product. But to say it's not a good business model and a good business is stupid. They literally make hundreds of millions, billions of dollars.
It's stupid. It's the same people.
All their advertisers and stuff are the same people who advertise with the NFL, and it's just a different, obviously they don't have like beer companies and stuff because they're PG, but I mean they still have, you know, high-end sponsors, and you know their marketing machine is ridiculous.
So hopefully this will go to show that it takes more than just like finding two big muscular sweaty guys to roll around in a ring together.
If that was the case, then there'd
fake rest and fake fight,
right? And if that was the case, then there'd be a lot more wrestling promotions like WWE, not hole in the wall places.
WWE is probably the closest thing in America, or in, like close in the world, to a monopoly, to an actual monopoly, without, you know, being a monopoly. There's nobody else that stands the test of time like they do, and there's no one that holds a candle to any of their production.
No, the production value just is, even, you know, you might have guys or promotions with good wrestlers and they can put out good matches, but the production value, even in NXT, and they do it at Full Sail University, a place with 400 people.
Yeah.
And the production value is like you're watching a WrestleMania in front of 100,000 people. So, and they just, I don't know. I'm excited for it. It's going to hopefully get some mainstream exposure. And I think it's just going to be a really interesting story.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vince, baby. I don't care who plays him.
Who cares? Me.
Okay, fine.
I can do it.
Get you in there.
Yeah.
Are you gonna go through with the ambulance, the limo?
Yeah.
It blows up.
It's gonna blow up.
Okay. It's actually gonna blow up.
Yes.
You're gonna be inside.
I'm gonna be inside.
Oh God.
I do all my own stunts.
Okay. It's part of the contract. Yeah. Ryan, we insist that you don't. I insist that I do.
I insist that I do.
Well, Vince McMahon would do his own stunts.
I mean, he blew up in a limo. He survived. You gotta make it look authentic.
So Vince McMahon biopic coming soon. Coming sooner, tomorrow night.
Very soon.
If you're listening to this on Wednesday the 26th, the 27th is the NFL draft. And me and Ryan, we have some, our Bucks and 49ers, we have some crucial picks coming up. And it's going to be a make or break season for the Bucks. They're right on the edge. You know, draft a few good guys, maybe gives them the extra push, you know, along with the DeSean Jackson pickup. With the 49ers, I mean, there are pieces already in place. So you grab a few guys in the draft, and this is exciting. This is a great time of year for football fans.
It is. Especially, I mean, you guys are clearly on the up and up, which is good. You know, just missed out on the playoffs. Yeah. Coming off a 2-14 year, you know, the draft is really important. It really is, because obviously we have a good pick. We have the second overall pick. I can't imagine they're going to trade. I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I just don't think they're going to trade the pick.
No, they can't. Because they can't trade.
I don't think they're going to get the return that they could get with, or at least the potential. Because really, if you're trading the number two pick, you're probably going to be trading for potential anyway. So why not get someone younger, probably more skilled?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they need a lot of help in a lot of different positions.
At least, like, if you don't think you want to grab, like, a really talented, like, you don't want to take a chance on a really talented skill position, like, at least go with, like, a defensive lineman or offensive lineman, something like that, something that you can, like, build off of. Like, those are very important pieces. Who do you think they're going to pick at two?
I don't know. I think they're probably going to take the defensive end, Solomon Thomas. That's what I've read the most.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's, you know, he's good. I mean, they need a defensive end. They need some guy who's going to get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
They could always take that quarterback. What the hell's his name? That everyone's going crazy over that. People are saying the Browns might take Trubisky.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but the only thing is, like, you signed – I know these guys aren't good, but you signed Brian Hoyer. You signed Matt Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always wary about picking quarterbacks that early.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, there's a lot of – quarterbacks that you wouldn't necessarily want for a long period of time, but a lot of guys that are. Is there an ad playing? Is that mine or yours? Oh, it's mine.
Yeah, I have my volume off. I was like, is someone whispering to me?
It's an Old Spice commercial. What was I getting at? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are still free agents that maybe they're not guys you want for long term, but instead of wasting an early pick on a quarterback that might not even be your starter week one, or even like week, you know, five or six if they ease him in, like, I don't know, just like guys like Jay Cutler. I know you don't want to hear that, but, you know, he's waiting for an injury in training camp and he's going to be signed to a team like that. It's those type of guys. I don't think Tony Romo's coming back. I'm pretty confident that he's done. He's hanging it up. But there's some other guys that could go in there. And I think that, I don't know, I think Brian Hoyer's serviceable. There's nothing wrong with Brian Hoyer.
No, and especially, like, the only thing is you also have to remember that they have their number one receiver this year is going to be Garcon.
Yeah.
And then Marquise Goodwin, I think, from the Bills. They're both all right. But, like, why the hell are you going to go out and get, like, this, you know, not waste, but spend your second overall pick on a quarterback when you don't even, you're going to need a stud receiver for him to throw to? Like, he's going to be throwing the, you know, fade routes to Pierre Garcon. Great. Like, what the hell? You know, I mean, I'd rather them build in another spot. And they have, I mean, they have a decent pick in the second round, too. I think they have the 32nd or the 34th pick. So you can even grab a quarterback in the later rounds. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe someone like, I don't know how far, like a Deshaun Watson and people are going to fall, but I'd much rather spend a later round pick on someone like that than my second overall pick on a guy who isn't going to be surrounded with weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they have Vance McDonald, the tight end. I mean, you do have Carlos Hyde, who I think can be good. And then they signed somebody else. Who's the other running back that they signed? Hightower. And Hightower. So, I mean, it's not a bad 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I'm just excited for the draft. The Bucks actually were – I heard some rumors today. Schefter was saying that the Bucks were thinking about moving back and trading the 19th pick. I don't hate it. It depends on what we get from it. Like, I don't need a second round kicker again like we did last year, where we traded back and then we traded up into the second round to get a kicker, and this time we're gonna trade out of the first round to get who God knows what, like an extra fourth round pick or something.
The Patriots could use the first round pick.
They're not gonna trade for the Patriots. Get out of here. Get that shit out of here. Now, I want offensive. I'd be happy with an offensive tackle at the 19th pick, or a running back, specifically Dalvin Cook from Florida State. He's right at that spot where I think he could go, like in that area. And the Bucs need another good running back. I mean, not that they have any like really standout guys right now, because Doug Martin is having issues with substance abuse, and
he's clean now though.
Charles Sims is. The thing is, I don't know how much faith now they're going to have in him. Hard Knocks will be really telling this year to see what's going on with the backfield. Because you got Charles Sims, and you got they bring back Jaquizz Rodgers. Yeah, I don't know. I would also like to see Christian McCaffrey, although he's not a sure thing. He like translating his running into the NFL might not be a sure thing. But an offensive tackle would be great to protect Jameis Winston. Would be fantastic.
Especially now that you have two, at least Deshaun Jackson is known for more of a guy who's going to be running down the field, so you're going to need a couple seconds there.
Yeah, and between Jameis and our line we already have, like, we have, you know, Jameis moves around, he extends the play, but it would be nice for him to be able to, like, stand in the pocket, because that's when he's his best, is when he stands in the pocket and throws. So, I don't know, it's going to be interesting. If they trade, I won't be heartbroken, because I know they're going to load up on – they're going to probably in later rounds, they'll probably load up on some defensive ends, because we need pass rushers. We need depth at pass rusher.
Same thing with the 49ers did too. And, I mean, I wouldn't – I like that guy. The more I read about him, the more I like Jamal Adams, safety for LSU. He was like one of the – he's like one of the two or three guys who they think might get picked at the number two spot, like other than that Solomon Thomas guy I mentioned. And I think Jonathan Allen was the other guy. But I don't know. I mean, it's just like the stuff you read about him from scouts and people at LSU, like you pair him and Eric Reed in the secondary. I mean, you need a hard hitter. You need someone who's going to set the tempo, set the pace.
Yeah.
Who not only is going to hit a receiver over the middle, but he can come down and hit a running back.
Yeah.
He can blitz.
It's important if you have a good.
The only thing is though, I mean, you got a new head coach who's obviously an offensive minded coach. You got a brand new GM who. I know he was a defensive player, but who knows where his specialty is going to land as far as evaluating talent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot up in the air for him. I just hope they do better than 2-14. Their schedule is pretty easy. They play at least they play a lot of teams that weren't good last year.
Yeah, the Bucs have a tough schedule this year.
Who do they play in the outside their conference?
The Patriots.
Ah. Yeah, but other than that.
So, I mean, they play the Patriots. They play the Falcons twice a year, which we split with the Falcons last year. I mean, you know, but they're still they went to the Super Bowl last year, so they're not pushovers. So they could easily deal us two losses and that's it. Like, you know, we're out of the playoffs. So, because I don't know. I mean, I think the Saints will be now. The Saints have Adrian Peterson, so the Saints might be a little better. I don't know what the Panthers are doing. The Panthers are gonna this year is gonna be a big year for the Panthers because it decides whether. Like, Cam Newton's going to shake off that Super Bowl loss or not. Like, this is it. Like, you can't go on much more than this.
Well, they open up against the 49ers, so.
Hey.
Got to shut them down. Well, because our outer division games are Panthers, Colts, which could be tough. The only thing is that they do play the NFC East. Redskins, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, those are all really, those are four pretty solid teams. But then, like, you play the Panthers, the Bears, the Texans, the Titans, the Jaguars. I mean, I'm not really too worried about those teams. Yeah. And then the Rams always suck.
The big names for the Bucs are the Patriots, again, the Cardinals, the Giants.
Giants could be tough with Brandon Marshall now.
Yeah.
Brandon Marshall and Beckham are not going to be anything a lot. Who's their running back for the Giants? They signed because I know they got rid of Rashad Jennings.
I don't know. I have no idea. Now they play the Packers. Later in the season. So that's tough. But
are you going to watch the draft tomorrow?
I don't know. I usually at least try to watch the first round. I've been excited like more in the past because you know, we drafted Jameis 2 years ago and I mean the year before that we had Evans, you know, at 13 or what pick was that? 17, I think. So I don't know. We're not going to get a big, like, high-profile guy. So I'm not really too excited on the or keen on watching it. But I'll probably check out the first round and see what happens.
That's what I see. I want to see. I mean, I'll definitely watch to see the 49ers pick. Yeah. Imagine, the time is up.
Has that ever happened in the NFL?
Yeah. I think it happened a couple of years ago.
They just don't get the pick anymore.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if it was in the first round or not, but it had to be in
that person has to be fired.
Yes,
right?
On the spot. Yeah, I think publicly fired.
You have to be fired. Yeah. At the draft. The next pick, you forego your next pick, and you announce the person being fired. Yes. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that. All right. So NFL draft tomorrow night. So you just added this in.
I did.
It makes me a little nervous.
So it came out today actually that Mark Zuckerberg confirmed that in Facebook's like Area 51 type wing, they're working on details where you can communicate with people over Facebook with telepathy. So using your mind basically.
Yeah.
And they're working on this and putting, I have to imagine, what is a lot of money into it. And they've been working on it for several months. And it must be at the stage where Zuckerberg is comfortable commenting publicly about it. So I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on. So it's basically that.
Clearly, none of these people have seen The Terminator, number one.
They're a little too anxious and happy about all
Elon
this robotic
Musk
stuff.
Too. Elon Musk, too. Yeah. And Elon Musk's going off the deep end. Amber Heard has sunk her claws into him. Have you seen this?
No.
They're like there's a
is she the one who used to be married to Johnny Depp?
Yeah, so she just got divorced from Johnny Depp and got like $9 million from him.
Now she's with him?
And now she's with Elon Musk. And like Elon Musk has been posting all these weird like Instagram pictures. Like one of her, but then since the one of her, it's been all just weird ones. It was like a picture of him in a suit, and it's like Tom Ford versus like climbing harness. And it's like, you know how on Instagram now you can have more than one picture?
Yeah.
It's like a picture of him in a suit, and then you swipe over, and it's like him like hunched over, like putting a climbing harness on.
The
like,
hell?
But way in the distance. It's like zoomed in, so it's like terrible like resolution. Anyway. But I don't, so clearly, like I said, no one's seen The Terminator. They're very excited to be, you know, welcoming our robot overlords to take over. I really don't think, and I could be wrong, because I'm an early adopter with a lot of technology, so I could be wrong. I don't think I really need to be talking to Facebook telepathically, or really anything to do with, like, social media like that. It's one thing to, like, I know Zuckerberg's big on the smart home. Mm-hmm. It's one thing for me to, like, walk in my house and be like, think, like, lights on. That's one thing. If that could happen, that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. I wouldn't like that, but go ahead.
You wouldn't like that?
No, because my thoughts are all over the place. So now if my thoughts are lights on.
Well, that's the thing. So it has to work well. It can't just be, and it can't be a gimmicky thing. It can't be like, I walk in my house and I have to put on this giant, like, fucking Professor X helmet and then be like, think for like 15 minutes, lights on. And then they
you could have, like, flipped a switch, yeah. Took a shower.
That's one thing. If I walk in my house and I'm just like, yeah. Also, maybe it doesn't even need to be telepathic. Like, why can't I walk in my house and just be like, lights on?
Yeah, sound
like,
activated is
that's
okay.
Because
you're saying it.
Yeah, that's already a thing.
Telepathic is scary.
Smart home, but it's just, like, a lot. It's these guys who own these big tech companies, they have, like, nothing better to do with their time. Do you know what Larry Page has been doing, the co-founder of Google?
No.
He's been funding himself this, like, flying car. He calls it the Kitty Hawk. Basically, it's a drone with a seat on the top of it. That's all it is.
Okay.
And it looks terrifying.
That sounds like the least safe thing in the world.
It looks so unsafe. Like, they have, like, prop guards on the propellers and stuff, but I don't trust that at all. It looks so unsafe. And so he's been landing it and taking off from, like, the water, like, not flying it over land, which is probably good.
So if he falls into the water.
But these guys just have all this unlimited money, and they just, like...
So that's what they spend their time doing.
I mean, Elon Musk is... you can look at Elon Musk two ways. He's a lunatic, and he's a genius. Yeah. Absolutely. It's too...
But there's always totally that fine line.
It's black and white. Yeah. He's it's unbelievable. He's like, it's, he want, if you had talked to this guy, if you had like not known who Elon Musk is, and he sat down with you and be like, listen, I'm starting my own company. We're going to build rockets and they're going to take off and then they're going to land by themselves. Also, I want to live on Mars. Listen. Right, listen, I can get you help.
Yeah.
I can get you help. But look at him.
I know the name of a good good medical professional.
He's gonna help you. Go on. He's gonna help you.
Because that, I mean, it is crazy, and obviously you have to be that, you know, a little bit of a lunatic to even make things like that happen.
Yeah.
So I give him credit for that. But I can't think of a worse combination than like telepathy and social media.
Facebook.
And Facebook.
Like you were saying before, I don't need to be talking to people that I'm friends with on Facebook.
No, some of the people I'm friends with on Facebook, I don't want to know what their deepest, darkest thoughts. I already know the thoughts they're comfortable typing out. I can't imagine what they're actually thinking.
I picture it like that scene from Bruce Almighty.
Yes.
When he opens up the computer and all the prayers start coming through, and it's just like so loud in his head.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just like popping up, popping up, popping up.
And I guess the name of the... So it's Experimental Technologies, and it's Building 8.
That's like Area 51 for him, Building 8. They all have... Apple is supposedly working on a car. Facebook with all this crazy shit. Google... Well, actually, Larry Page is doing this on his own. He's not doing it with Google help, but he's just fucking crazy.
I think I got a couple hundred million to spend. Let me see if I can just put a booster seat on this drone. Yeah.
And, like, I mean, Elon Musk was doing the same thing with the self-driving. He kept that under wraps for a long time, and now all his cars can drive themselves. It's crazy.
That is nuts.
Technology is getting right now, it's like the curve of like technology, like how good technology is getting, it's like straight up right now.
Yeah.
It's like it's growing exponentially day after day after day. It's like crazy the type of stuff that gets released now. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not even ready for voice activation for my house and things like that. So... I welcome it, but I don't know about telepathy.
And I can't picture a scenario where it doesn't work. You know what I mean? I mean, they have so much brain power behind this and so much money that once the technology part of it's figured out, forget it.
Back to the helmet thing, like it has to be usable. It can't just be a gimmick.
Right.
It can't just be you have to be hooked into a computer for this stuff to work. Like, it has to be usable day to day for it to be. It still can
Which
be
I'm
cool.
Assuming
it
is
still
like
can be
the,
cool. But,
yeah, but that's.
Yeah. It's like back, like, I mean, 20 years ago, there was virtual reality. It was, like, real shitty virtual reality, but people were like, that's really cool. It's not feasible, but look at the year 2017. People are doing virtual reality in their living rooms now.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing virtual reality games. They have the headsets. When you buy a cell phone, you can get a virtual reality case for it and do that. And so. Yeah, so I mean, maybe not now, but maybe in 20 years we're going to look back and think on this and be like, how naive were we? Like, making things work with our minds is the best.
Because you see, I mean, they quoted him in this article, and Mark Zuckerberg describes telepathy as the ultimate communication technology. That sounds like someone who's really, really villain. Going forward with it. You know what I mean? He's
a supervillain.
Yeah. And they're working on optical neuroimaging systems that would allow people to type words directly from their brain at 100 words per minute.
That actually would be useful. Like, if I'm writing something and I, like, the way I think, because I don't type well, like, because I don't type fast.
Right.
So maybe, like, thinking it might be better. But again, my mind usually is, like,
words a minute,
is all over the place. So, yeah. Like, things might get stuck in there that shouldn't be in there. So, I don't know. It also, with Mark Zuckerberg... Like, he's a brilliant man. I'm not taking anything away from him.
Right.
But he started by, like, he was a computer coder. He's making the Facebook. He was making a website. Now he's, like, dipping in. Like, now he's, like, Facebook has grown. He's, like, dipping into, like, all these things. Like, it just doesn't, like, I understand that he, like, is trying to, like, figure out trends and figure out, like, where the world is going and everything like that. But Facebook is, like, it's its own thing. Like, it can survive on its own without having to have telepathy powers or like have like that division of Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like weird to me. It seems like he could be improving on so many other things before he starts working on XYZ. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's like in the opposite. It's like a scientist. It's like trying to grow organs through spinach leaves, which they're doing.
Right.
Crazy. Like, starts this company. They're doing great. And then he's like, you know what? And I'm making the next Twitter. You know, it's, like, weird. It's just, like, stay in your lane and, like, do what you're good at.
Yeah, and you'd also kind of hope that people with that much power and money and influence would maybe use it towards something a little more...
Functional
and useful to the human race.
Yeah.
Like, how's that really going to benefit people?
But you know what, too, though? Technology's getting to the point where you have to really wow people in order to...
In order for it to catch on.
In order for, like, people to be impressed by it. You know, like, I kind of get where, you know, Zuckerberg is coming from. Like, he does all these amazing things, but...
So if he would have just released something that was kind of, they'd be like, well.
I mean, 5 years ago, I'm trying to think of something like that I can do now that 5 years ago sounds insane. Like, I can sit for my phone. Yeah, 5 years ago, I could have my phone watching Netflix, and I could just press a button, and then it's on my, it's playing on my TV. Like, something as simple as that. So, I get it. I get it a little bit.
It's definitely interesting times.
It is interesting times. So, telepathy. I can't wait to start hearing what my Facebook friends are saying. I was like talking to one of our friends last night at Ladder, and we were like talking about like what Facebook essentially has made the class reunion obsolete.
Yeah,
I mean that's what it's done. I'm currently planning my class reunion, so I'm also a little bit bitter towards it. It's like, you know, it's kind of a pain. Like once it's all said and done, I'll enjoy seeing like people I went to high school with. But
no one believes that.
But it's just like, listen, we're all on Facebook. This is the class reunion all the time.
Send me a message if you want to know really what I'm up to.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's changed the game. Yeah, it's like, it has. It's, I don't know.
You're kept up to date.
Yeah. So I don't know. But
that's Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg, man.
Ruining class reunion since whenever Facebook was invented.
You watching anything new, interesting?
Yeah. Well, so. Two Sundays ago, so a little over 2 weeks ago, The Leftovers came back. HBO show, which is hands down one of the best shows on TV, came back for its third and final season, two episodes in. It's been awesome. It's been great. It's just such a really cool mystery, drama, thriller that the last two seasons has added like bits and pieces of comedy to it, too. It's not a comedic show. No. It's a very dark show. But the actors are so good, and the writing is so good, and I think it's one of the best shows, you know, out there. I mean, the ratings aren't that great, so a lot of people don't know about it. It's critics. You won't find a critic that has a bad word to say about it.
Really?
It's one of those shows, but it doesn't necessarily translate
to
a broader audience, I think, because it's so dark. But it's weird. I don't understand, because then you watch something like Game of Thrones, which is absurdly dark.
Yeah.
And people just love that shit. So I don't know if it's because that's medieval and The Leftovers is... Nah, I don't know. But I think it's an amazing show. It's 2 weeks in. If you haven't watched it, you should go on HBO On Demand and watch it. It's an hour series, but it's only been two seasons and two episodes. Absolutely worth it. It's just really a great drama. And I actually worked from home last Friday. So I watched a couple of documentaries on Netflix.
Okay.
And I watched two. I watched one on the Oklahoma City bombing, and kind of about it. It was cool because it was way different than I thought it was going to be. I think it's called Oklahoma. I'm trying to actually look up the name. Oklahoma City. So it's cool because what it does is it goes back to why Timothy McVeigh basically did what he did, because I don't really know too much about him, you know, the part like you I know he blew it up, and obviously he was anti-government and all that stuff, but he used to be in the army, and he was in the Gulf War in the early 90s, and he just like kind of got sidetracked while he was over in, I don't know if he was actually in Iraq or he was somewhere over there, and just really got disillusioned with the government and thought that, you know, we shouldn't have been invading these countries, and, you know, he hated Clinton and hated the first Bush and just really didn't like the government at all. And then he basically became a white supremacist and started joining, like, the white Christian movement, which was basically about religion and guns, which still exists today. It was kind of like a branch off of the KKK type of thing.
Mm.
And there was this thing called Ruby Ridge, which was in Texas, I believe, and the government had found out about this ex-Marine guy who, like, lived with his family, but was, like, creating bombs and getting, like, shipments of semi-automatic guns and stuff. So the government was going to go to his house to, like, confront him because the stuff he was doing was illegal. And the guy's wife ended up getting killed in, like, the raid, and this white supremacist movement started around it, and this anti-government movement, which McVeigh was a part of. And then I don't know what you know about Waco, Texas,
which
was something very similar, but on a much larger scale,
where
like hundreds of people died, including a lot of children. And that, again, was blamed really on the government from people who had McVay's viewpoint. So that's basically why I did it, because he actually blew up the building on the anniversary of Waco. Hmm. And it was really interesting. I mean, the guy is clearly a little tapped, but from day one, and they literally found him 2 days later. Like, they tracked him down, the FBI. Just, it shows, like, the pure power of the FBI.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, he had a Ryder truck, left it in front, and had it stacked with TNT and stuff, blew up the building, and within 24 hours, they had the serial number of the Ryder truck. They found it in the wreckage, traced it back to the shop he bought it from, got a spitting sketch image of him, and found him.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's amazing. And then he admitted it right away.
It's amazing.
Never really, obviously never showed any guilt or anything. I mean, he's been executed now, but yeah. It's a really fascinating thing. It really was. It's crazy. And they were saying, like, because the main part, which you always hear about, is that there was a daycare in that federal building.
Yeah.
And most of the kids died. But the main part of it was just different branches of government.
Yeah.
Had, like, FBI offices and Department of Transportation and stuff, and he was just so disillusioned that he wanted to just blow it up and kill random people. Hmm. He said they don't know. He never admitted, like, that he knew there was a daycare in there, but he obviously didn't also take the time to look.
Yeah.
But it was pretty crazy. So I would definitely recommend that on Netflix.
Okay.
It's like an hour and a half.
What's it called?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City?
Yeah. It'll be like in the trending now section because it's brand new. They just added it a couple days ago.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about yourself?
I actually, last night, when I was out, when we were out at the bar for Derek's birthday, fam said, told me to watch Split.
Did you watch it?
So I came home last night and I watched it.
Actually,
that's right.
I have seen that too, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's crazy. That was nuts. I don't want to get too far into it because I don't want to give away spoilers, but James McAvoy was amazing. He plays 20 different people.
Yeah.
Like, there's 24 total. He has 24 split personalities. But he plays, like, he doesn't play all of them all the time, but there's, like, six maybe that he switches back and forth between. It's amazing. And it was shot so well. Like,
it was.
It was, oh, man, it was good. And I don't know, that girl is the main character, the girl who, you know, the main girl.
Yep.
She looks very familiar, and I don't know what else she's in.
Holly actually, I watched it with Holly, and she knew.
It was cool, and like if you anybody watching it, there's like this cool little thing at the end. I won't give it away, but it like connects it to another movie,
yeah.
Which is crazy. You would never think it. It's crazy, but then after you hear it, it's like, oh, this totally makes sense.
And I actually forgot that he had directed the other movie.
Yeah, me too. They're coming
out with another one of that in 2019.
Crazy, yeah. I know he had said he wanted to do the sequel for a while, and my internet is not. Anyway, she was very good. I said, James McAvoy was so good. He impresses me more and more. Like, when I see him in more, like, every time I see him in more movies, he impresses me more and more.
To be able to pull something like that off, I mean, it was spot on, every single personality. It was really, really good.
And actually, fam gave me a little tip. Anybody that's going to watch Split, and I highly recommend you do, it's actually on iTunes. I rented it on iTunes. That's how I watched it. Watch it with the captions on. It sounds weird, but it helps you distinguish between who's talking. It helps you distinguish between characters.
Okay.
Because it says, like, when he's speaking as Dennis, it says Dennis, and it says the name.
He has wardrobe changes too.
Wardrobe changes too, but sometimes one character goes back and forth in the same wardrobe.
I know towards the end, like he changes.
Yeah,
literally on the spot.
Quickly.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, and it just adds in like different things, like when he goes and visits his doctor.
Yep.
Like you kind of like get the, and also it's weird too, like the captions don't give anything away. Like when he's visiting the doctor for the first time, you're not supposed to know who he actually is, like which character he's playing. And right. The doctor doesn't know, but she's trying to figure it out. But when the captions are playing, it's just generic captions. It doesn't say the name. Okay. So like they did a good job of like, if you know, if you were
That's
watching
cool.
the captions. Yeah, which I mean, you don't really like, we don't really pay attention to closed captioning, but.
Well, in that case, I could see it really being, it could really helping.
So yeah, but it was actually really helpful. It was weird. I wasn't gonna do it at first, but then I started watching it. And I'm like, I think I'm probably missing things. I should turn on the closed captioning. So I did. It was cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Really, really cool movie. I'm still watching a bunch of stuff on Hulu. I started The Path. with speaking of Colts and like things like that.
Really into Colts, huh?
Yeah, that's just my thing lately. Hey, so good for you. I've been watched that. Ever since I watched Going Clear, I just kind of I've been fascinated with I mean, I know that Scientology is not a cult. I'm putting air quotes all over the place.
Everybody's looking.
But it was that's a fascinating documentary if you haven't seen that.
Just to get into the minds of the people who actually, you know, belong to them and belong to that movement, I guess you could say.
Me and the guys at Make Movies Great, we're doing a new thing called the Movie Club, and Sean decides, and well, I don't know if it's going to be shown every week, but this week Sean decided a movie, and we're going to watch it, and then next week we're going to discuss it.
Okay.
But I would also like to open it up to you if you would like to watch it and then like either call in or come on the podcast.
Absolutely.
So it's The Discovery.
And I've seen it.
I think you saw it. So. Yeah.
Okay.
So this will be easy for you. You've already seen it. So that's the one with Robert Redford, Jason Segel.
Rooney Mara.
Yes, yes. So it looks crazy. It's on Netflix right now. It's a straight-to-Netflix movie. Is it a Netflix?
It's a Netflix-funded Netflix studio. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know, I wasn't the biggest fan.
Yeah.
So.
I think we're trying to aim for, like, movies like that, like, straight-to-Netflix like movies, the Netflix studio movies.
Obviously, it being accessible is going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, having it being on Netflix is huge, or having it being on a streaming service, so that's what we're going to try and do, and see if, you know, we're trying to get the people to call in and give their views. So far, we've had...
I'll leave a voicemail.
Yeah, so...
Because I've seen it. I mean, and it wasn't a horrible movie, but, I mean, I have my bones to pick with it, so give
maybe,
a different viewpoint.
Maybe Julius Pepperwood will call.
Yeah. This is Julius Pepperwood from Chicago.
And so I've been watching New Girl a lot.
Well...
I've also been watching Happy Endings, because Happy Endings is on Hulu.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of New Girl. Just like the camaraderie. The way they go back and forth with each other.
It's crazy, because they both started at, like, the same time. Too bad. You know what I think it is? The main character of Dave from Happy Endings is not nearly as good as Nick. They're kind of like the same. They're like the parody character. Yep. You know what I mean? Like the, I don't know.
But Nick's able to keep it going.
Nick is just so funny. And Jake Johnson is so funny.
He really is.
And Dave on Happy Endings has his moments, but he's just not. And I think Happy Endings like rotates. Like I mean, they all are the main characters, but you know, it starts off Dave gets. Stood up at the altar. Like, that's the first scene of the first episode of Happy Endings.
So, kind of has to revolve around him for the most part, yeah.
And I don't think it carries. Lindy had never seen it before, and she was like, that's the first thing she said. She's like, he's not nearly as good as Nick and, like, Jess are on New So.
It's a high bar to set, but it's a reason they've been on for seven seasons.
Such a funny show. But, all right. Well, I think that's it. Nice. I think that's it what we got for this week.
Nice chat.
So, yeah, we're going to watch NXT. If you guys want to call in and leave us some messages about anything we talked about tonight, call us 401-285-8120. I'm so glad that I remember the number now. It's like second nature to me now. So, again, 401-285-8120. Call us up. Leave us a voicemail. Again, it's a voicemail. You're not going to hear any of us. It's going to go straight to voicemail.
It'll just beep. And then...
That's what you'll hear my beautiful voice come on. Leave a message for us, and we'll play it on the next podcast. Yeah. If you have a comment about anything we talked about tonight. And until next week, thanks for listening. We'll see you next Wednesday. And that's it. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you. Have a great week, everybody.
Eat your peas and carrots.
Yep.
Goodbye.